Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast. Author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions we all have about hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead, it should inspire us to use our time on earth wisely.
Thank you for listening to my wife and I. Today we are asking you the question, are you ready for what's coming?
Boy, Bill, there has been so much happening in the world today. You know, we have all been witnessing so many disasters, storms, fires, wars, and unusual occurrences taking place, including signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, as Luke 21 states.
That's right.
You know, Jesus mentioned all these things would take place in the last days, but the end would not be quite yet. However, he said these are the birth pains, and we know that once birth pains begin, they become more intense and more frequent. It isn't any one of these events that is so unusual, but it is the acceleration and the convergence of so many occurring at the same time.
Yes, that's right.
You know, this should get our attention and make us look up. Jesus said, now when these things begin to happen, notice he said begin, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. As believers, we are supposed to recognize the times and seasons we are living in. So are you prepared for what's coming? Jesus said these things about the end times.
Right. He said in Matthew 24, verse 6 through 12, he said, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Boy, that's powerful. All these things Jesus said would take place.
That is so true. You know, Bill, and in Luke 21, Jesus reiterated some of these things. He said, starting in verse 9, but when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from the heaven. And he goes on and then ends with, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated for all my name's sake. And wow. That's really, you know, we saw a little foretaste of that in 2020 with people reporting people who didn't have the jab.
That was a little taste
of, can you imagine what it would be like in the tribulation when people are starving and needing food and needing to feed their children?
Oh, yeah.
And what lengths people will go to turn others in and so forth.
Exactly.
Know? So, you know, it's interesting too, Bill, in the late great Bible teacher, which we love, he is now in heaven, Dr. Chuck Missler, he pointed out too in the book of Luke there when Jesus was speaking in Luke 21, he pointed out that discourse was to the Gentiles who were alive then. Because in that one, he doesn't mention the abomination of desolation like he does in Matthew 24.
Right.
And in Matthew 24, that was more directed to the Jews or the unbelievers living at that time.
Right.
Right. And what they're going to face at the end.
Right. Exactly.
That's an interesting point.
You know, he differentiated.
Yeah. The two groups that he was addressing. So I thought that was interesting.
Right. You know, in the past several years, we have seen the massive and destructive fires across Canada and in Maui. You know, the world witnessed the barbaric attack on Israel by Hamas and the slaughter of many innocent people. You know, we have seen our own Ivy League schools turn on Israel instead of the killers, and along with millions across the world. You know, the nations are turning against Israel, as Zechariah 12 states. We have recently seen the Baltimore Bridge collapse, the total solar eclipse 7 years from the previous one, with its path marking a huge X across our nation, the earthquakes in Taiwan, New Jersey, Turkey, Haiti, and more, and tremendous flooding on the East Coast. We see instability throughout the world with wars and geopolitical tensions continuing to mount. You know, with the help of technology, governmental control and surveillance has increased greatly. The extreme decline in morality and insanity of protecting the criminals' rights over the victims continues to prevail in many cities, countries, and states. You know, the war on children has continued and parental rights have been lost in many cases as gender confusion and horrific sex changes are encouraged by those in authority. You know, we see God and biblical values attacked and removed from every facet of society. No God, no protection. You know, what it will take for our nation to wake up? Can America be saved? Only if Christians pray and repent, as stated in 2 Chronicles 7:14.
I know, it's amazing, the Lord, all those things that are happening and have happened at such a rapid speed, like accelerated in these last days. You know, we know that these evil things have been in the works for decades, but it's like the convergence or the speed of everything, which is something to really take notice of. And, you know, thank God for His mercy and what He has extended to our country all these years. You know, but He does give us a remedy to pray and repent. And it's just a matter of, He says, if my people will pray and repent and turn from their wicked ways. So that's what it's going to take. And I think, Bill, many people are experiencing a fear of the future out there.
Partly
because of the open border policy of this administration, along with an increase in crime in cities and towns, even supposedly, you know, real nice protected areas have been invaded by criminals, an increase in persecution against Jews and Christians, and the world's rejection of biblical values, as you said. You know, but we are not to fear, as we are not of this world. I mean, that's what we have to keep in mind as believers. And on the other, the flip side of the coin, so to speak, is we are alive now. God would entrust all of us as Christians to be alive now. That's quite a responsibility and quite, you know, something that is actually exciting to be here and to witness the pages of the Bible unfolding alive, what God prophesied hundreds and thousands of years ago happening.
Yes.
You know, and but we are not to fear. And there's so many great scriptures not to fear. You can look them up for yourselves. But like in John chapter 14, read through that. John 16, 33 and John 17, 14 through 16. Isaiah 41, 10. Psalms 23, Psalms 27, 1 and Philippians 4, 6 and many others that will comfort our hearts if we'll take the time to look them up and read them.
Exactly.
You know, Bill, in a practical way to resist fear is to pray, speak, and meditate on these verses. And as I said, along with any others you look up for yourself, or write them down and compile your own list. You know, Bill, so many times people ask us, Bill, how do you know so many scriptures when you share 23 minutes in hell?
Right.
But you actually hand write them all out.
I do.
And you read them every day and you look at them every day to keep them in your heart.
Exactly.
So this is an important step to prepare for what's for the continued shaking throughout the earth. You know, we want to remain in peace and we need to remain in peace as Christians so we can clearly hear God's voice and not follow the voice of fear.
That's right. Hearing God's voice is key today.
It is key. It is like our pastor said, it's the Noah's Ark of today.
That's true.
Hearing God's voice.
Exactly.
You know, and just another practical thing, not to be in fear, but to keep an emergency supply of food and water on hand. And some websites suggest at least a couple of weeks. Others say at least a couple of months or longer. And we don't live in fear, but it is prudent to have an extra supply of food, water, and items that and items most needed if an emergency should occur,
right? Even just a natural disaster or something. It's good to have these things on hand, be prepared. You know, but the most important thing is to live spiritually prepared. Do you know without a doubt where you will spend eternity, heaven or hell? This is not a decision to procrastinate or delay or think about later. You know, look at the story of the two thieves crucified with Jesus. In Luke 23, verses 39 through 43, it says, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise.'"
That is amazing. You know, the one thief had the same opportunity as the other, but chose not to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Imagine that, Bill?
He had that opportunity.
He only wanted Jesus to take him off that cross if he was truly the Christ. He didn't say that Jesus was Lord as the other thief did.
Right.
He went to hell that very day, as did the rich man in Luke 16:23. And he is still in hell today, 2,000 years later, regretting his foolish decision. The other thief went to heaven that very day and is still to this day enjoying his wise decision.
I know. Can you imagine that thief that went to hell and he thinking now for all eternity, I had the opportunity. I was hanging next to the Savior of the world and I ridiculed him, didn't believe he was the Son of God. You know, said, "If you are the Christ." He said it in a sarcastic way, I'm sure. You know, so that how sad for that man, but he had the opportunity.
I know.
As so many do today.
And then when they're sitting, like we were just returned from a ministry trip, you know, people are sitting in that audience hearing you explain about hell. And it's amazing to me that there are some probably that still don't repent and come forward to receive the Lord.
Right.
I mean, I know God's working in their hearts. Anyone there would be drawn by the Father, you know, after hearing 23 minutes in hell.
Right, which so many were. But even like that one lady that came up afterwards, she says, "Oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in hell." I said, "Well, what do you do with the 46 verses Jesus has spoke about hell? Clear. They're not ambiguous." She says, "I don't believe them." I go, "Oh, you choose to believe part of the Bible, not the other part. How can that be? You have to believe all of it or none of it." You know, but she refused to even listen to the verses. Doesn't believe in hell.
I know. And I think sometimes, too, when people have lost a loved one or something has happened in their life, it's easier to embrace a false belief or a false doctrine than to face the truth, because then they're faced with that reality. My loved one could be in hell.
Right. I know. It's true. You know, in the vision God gave me of hell that I wrote about in my book, 23 Minutes in Hell, I saw the horrendous things people experience there. You know, just being alone and in darkness was more than anyone could bear. And yet that was only a part of the suffering. The torment of the demons, these hideous creatures who hate you, it was terrifying. You know, the hunger and the thirst, just a drop of water was so desperately needed. The loud, piercing, and agonizing screams would cause a person to go mad. And the state of chaos and confusion and lack of anything that made any sense, that alone was unbearable. And of course, the extreme heat and burning flames was agonizing. And the worst part of all was that I understood the permanency of hell, the hopelessness of being lost, separated from God and all good, and suffering forever. You know, Isaiah 38:18 says, "For Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth." And we know Jesus said, "He is the truth. He is the only truth." And it's too late for them. It's too late. That's so sad. These people are there for all eternity suffering like that.
I can't even imagine.
No, no. You know, to repent and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior is by far the most important decision you could ever be faced with. And please, I urge you to not treat it lightly. Don't treat this decision lightly.
And the Bible clearly describes the days coming upon the earth before Jesus Christ's return. Again, in Luke 21:26, Jesus said, men's hearts would fail them from fear and the expectation of those things that are coming on the earth. You don't want to be here when the great tribulation begins. And in Matthew 24:21, Jesus said, for then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be.
Boy, there's been some bad times on the earth, horrible things, and yet it doesn't compare to the tribulation. That's what Jesus was saying. So you do not want to be here. You want to be in God's family when Jesus calls us home at the rapture, as 1 Thessalonians 4:17 states. It says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And that only comes through trusting in Jesus Christ for our salvation today. You have to trust in him today.
Absolutely. Because as an unbeliever, a person is subject to the verse that's in Deuteronomy 28:66, which says, your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. But as a son or daughter of God, we have complete assurance of our salvation and our home in heaven.
That's right. And here's just a few of those verses. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And 1 John 2:25 says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. And Acts 17:31 says, he has given assurance of this to all by raising Jesus from the dead. Boy, those are great promises. We have promise of eternal life.
Absolutely.
If we've repented and received Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Which begins here on the earth, that eternal life. The moment that you receive him and you ask forgiveness of your sins and you just cry out to him with a humble heart, a sincere heart, saying, Lord, come into my life. I repent of my sins, and you're willing to turn away with his help, willing to turn away from a sinful lifestyle, he will right there rescue you, right there.
That's
and your
right.
eternal life starts right at that moment.
That's right. So there are troublesome times coming on the earth, and we've seen the beginning of it already, you know. But if we fear God, we won't fear anything else.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to leave us a rating or comment. We value your feedback. Stay in touch and learn more about this ministry by visiting us at soulchoiceministries.org.